Tonight, it's once again time for our segment, How Can We Help, with Dan Katowski. Then later, new friend of the show, Shay DeGrandis, previews her upcoming Mortified show. And finally, pretty late favorites Michael Palasek and Adam Selzer swing by the Showcase studio. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Hey, everybody. I'm live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and it's hard to put into words. I think that everybody's going to have this problem tonight. I do want to open up the phone lines right away, and I want to know how everybody's feeling, what your thoughts are. What were your immediate reactions? Because I think that everybody is so completely different. I think that the shooting today, over the weekend, there was another one. If I hear correctly, Rob, there were actually three mass shootings today. Is that accurate?
There have been a couple of others that unfortunately have been pushed to the back burner because of what happened in San Bernardino. But yes.
Yeah. And I think I said this when the shooting in Oregon happened and the shooting in Virginia happened and the shooting in South Carolina and the shooting in Connecticut, the shooting in Colorado. And I don't know anymore I said that before. I didn't know what to say then. I don't know what to say now. I think people are sad. They're angry. Everyone has a different range of emotions. I had to sit down with my 12-year-old, and I wanted to make sure that he knew about the news rather than finding out tomorrow from other people, their interpretation of what it is, what's going on in the world. You know, he knows because when he was 9 years old, he had to learn what the drill was in case a shooter entered his school. So they had their emergency drills for kindergarten through eighth grade already. I don't know. I want to know what you think, because I think I'm at a loss completely. How are you doing, Craig?
Yeah, no, and there's an article in the Washington Post today about this being the 355th mass shooting of this year. There have been 355 shootings in where four people, including the shooter, have died.
Right.
Or been injured, I think, is the way they calculate it.
Yeah.
We talked about it in our pre-show meeting, and it's been going on for a certain number of years now here in our country, but it seems like this year has been just
a lot more. Right. And everyone can have, I think that we can't even run to our usual corners of we need more gun control, we need more mental services for people who have challenges mentally. I don't know no one has solutions, or we all have solutions. Rob, where are you on, I guess, as a newsman, you have these stories all the time, and
it's difficult. As I've said before, you come in and I do my job and I try to handle the facts as best I can. If I sit down and start thinking about it, then the weight of it starts kind of pushing down on me a little bit. But I don't know either. I think I'm in the same place as a lot of people. What I do know, I put on my amateur Freud hat and try to at least comfort myself, if nobody else, and think that there are a lot of people, unfortunately, that are unhinged out there. Not only that, they have access to guns.
Right.
And things in this country, look, as much as we want them to be good again, they're still not to where they need to be. So those who are already at the precipice, it doesn't take a whole lot to just nudge them over the edge. And whatever happened, as it comes out in the next couple of days, as to what the circumstances were surrounding the shooting in San Bernardino reveal, again, this is probably one of those instances where we're going to label it so we can justify it in our own minds. But, people are close to it, Patty. They're, and once they get there, there's no going back.
No, there doesn't seem to be any going back. So, I mean, the only thing I'm left with as I was driving down tonight trying to think of what to even say, all I can think is that before, you leave the house, say I love you. Before you get off the phone, say I love you, because I don't know what is next. And none of us do. No one knows what's coming. And I hate to sound so, one, that's just a fact. Regardless of what's going on in the world, you should always say I love you to the people who are important to you. But I just don't know what else to say right now. We're going to take calls 312-981-7200. We're having a conversation. Esmeralda, how are you doing? I didn't mean to leave you out of the conversation.
No. It's a sad thing. Sadly, I don't want to just be like, well, that's what's happening.
Of course.
I guess just have to be on an even keel.
Exactly.
I'm thinking, for your own self, because if you let it get to you so much, then Mm-hmm. I mean, how are you going to live?
Yeah, how are you going to function? Right.
Yeah, exactly. Just hiding in a corner.
Yeah, no. We won't. I mean, we will continue to have the discussion. That's the thing. That's why I want to find out how people are feeling so that we can all kind of work through it a little bit. Maybe people don't want to talk about it. You can even say that. Say you don't even want to hear about it anymore. 312-981-7200. We're coming back after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And we're taking your calls about today's shootings in California and just in general. I think that I just Googled campus shootings, and apparently this year alone, there have been 23 shootings on college campuses this year, 2015. We have on the line with us, before we bring our callers on, I want to welcome back to the show. It's been a couple weeks. State Senator Dan Katowski joins us. Hey, sir, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Patty?
I'm all right. I don't know if you had a chance to listen. I know that we spoke earlier and you were helping your kids get ready for bed. That's what I was telling our listeners, that I sat down with Griffin and wanted to make sure that he knew that this was happening so he wouldn't find out at school sort of in a haphazard way, but at the same time make him, you know, to the best of my ability, make him feel safe. What do you tell your kids when stories like this break?
I've been following mass shootings in our country since the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And they were less commonplace then. And, you know, one of the things I talk to about my kids as it relates to firearms, I mean, the conversations I have with them, is that it's mainly really been centered around if you're at someone's house, if someone ever shows a firearm, they're to leave.
Right.
They call me right away, get out of that house if it's not, you know, just to try and protect this, because there's, I mean, the gun violence that we have in our country is not just relegated to mass shootings, although this is such a frequent occurrence. It's unintentional shootings in the home. It's mm-hmm. gun suicides are the predominant number of deaths that are caused by related to gun suicides in our country, and then, you know, gun homicides, of course. All right, so we talk a lot about decisions that people make that are awful, awful decisions, and that that people don't have respect for life.
Right.
That they seem to have in the past, and the big difference that, you know, I would talk to my, you know, children about is that the guns that are made today are exceedingly more lethal than the guns that were made you know, decades ago. And if you just go through, and, you know, people say, well, aren't guns supposed to be lethal? Aren't guns supposed to, that's the purpose in which you're designed to defend. And that's not the argument that, you know, I often pose. The issue that I raise when I talk about, you know, gun violence with my kids is, number one, the importance of their doing whatever they can to keep them safe from crime and violence, but to talk with them about the lethality of these guns is that most of these mass shootings have occurred with people with weapons that have high capacity ammunition magazines.
Right.
If you go through the shootings, you know, one after the other, they start from 15-round magazines to 33-round ammunition magazines, some cases 100-round ammunition magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And if you also see there's, you know, there's this kind of this military battle in a way between criminals who now have access to these this weaponry and people committing these crimes to this, you know, militarized type of weaponry. And then I think our police offers a law enforcement to feel compelled to compete with that,
right?
And so it's just, you know, the gun industry is the last unregulated industry in the United States of America. When you have a situation where person to person sales are not regulated in the same way that someone would have to transfer the title of a car, or we have to require insurance for a car,
and registration, right?
The licensing registration, it doesn't happen. Like, in the state of Illinois is one of the unique places in the sense that we require background checks on person-to-person gun sales. But in the bulk of the country, that's not required. And, you know, the President Obama rightly pointed out there's some people who are on the no-fly zone because they present a risk as terrorists who can still buy guns in the United States of America.
Wow. I didn't even – I mean, yeah, that's a bizarre train of logic right there. Senator, I want to take some of our listeners' calls, too, because they want to join the conversation. First, we have – let me make sure I lock you in. We have Sherry who wanted to share some thoughts. Hi, Sherry. How are you doing?
Hey. How are you doing, Patty?
I'm all right. It's another long day.
Hi there. Yeah, I don't have any kids. If I had a child or kids or whatever, the first thing I would tell them is you know, we're just living in some difficult times, and to just stay hopeful. Just be hopeful.
Yes.
It phases me, but I'm at the point in my life where I just take it one day at a time. I got my living will all set up. I remember 9/11 driving home. I talk to my sister every day. I tell her I love her every day and vice versa. And I'm at peace with that. But as far as what's going on in the world, I mean, it's all about rhetoric and it's all about talk, what you say, how you say it, and why you're saying it. It's too much hate out there.
I agree.
And will it ever speak? I don't think it will. I hope it does. There's that word again. I hope it does. But, man, it is getting worse and worse. And what happened in Sandy Hook? Mm-hmm. And nothing came out of Sandy Hook? Huh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right. You would think that that would be a turning point when something like that happens.
Absolutely.
You would think.
I met mm-hmm. many of the parents from Sandy Hook whose children were killed. Met Mark Barden. He came down to, and we still talk, and he came down to Springfield to advocate to, you know, because his child Daniel was shot five times mm-hmm. By someone who had a weapon with a high capacity ammunition magazine, and he was just quite arguing to say, well, why can't we just limit it to 10
right.
rounds? And Mark is still obviously as a parent, those of you who are listening, know that can only imagine what it'd be like to lose a child. And if you've lost a child, it's so agonizing and horrific, and it's like a nightmare that you never wake up from.
Yeah.
And he came to Springfield and to advocate to see if we could do something. And unfortunately, I ran that bill. Our legislators did not respond, did not listen. And this was a measure I thought was reasonable. I thought it was a way in which you could both honor and protect people's individual rights while honoring the sanctity of the lives of children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a balance that we can strive in this country. And I agree with you that, we talk every night with my kids about gratitude. What are you grateful for? Every night you have to list three things that you're grateful for. And what do you think that, what are you blessed by? But the fact is there's so much discussion right now and dialogue that's so centered on violence around, and the language is very aggressive.
Mm-hmm. And I think Sherry's right, absolutely right about that. Yep.
Yeah, and it's you just see it replicated time and time again. And the fact is, yeah, we do have people who struggle with mental illness, and we're not funding mental illness in the way we should. We're not providing those services, and it's kind of this prophecy that's self-fulfilling. But when you cut funding for services, you are going to have problems. But the thing is, when you have a mentally ill person who has a knife or a sharp object, or if they have an AK-47, they're far more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's just, you know, it's basic, simple math. And I think we need to just recognize that. And, you know, this is not about the law-abiding gun owners are out there and good, decent people. And
right.
And I know a lot of them. This is just about an industry, the gun industry, that refuses to take responsibility for the product that they market and they sell. and they end up in the hands of criminals.
Right.
And they end up in the hands of mass shooters.
Yep.
No. And we need to do something about it.
We do. And I want to thank Sherry for her phone call. I want to ask Dave and John to please hold on the line. I have to take a break here. We are talking to State Senator Dan Katowski. We're having a conversation with everyone about today's events and how you're feeling tonight. And I think Sherry's right. You have to hold on to hope. I do believe in be the change you want to see in the world. I think you do have to hold on to hope and not, you know, become part of the problem. But I also think at this point, it feels like we also have to sort of prepare for the worst. More after this on 720 WGN.
Hey, it's Brent Seabrook. It's true.
Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button. I went to hit phone, Craig. I swear. I meant to hit phone. I was trying to welcome back former State Senator Dan Katowski. I'm supposed to call you Senator, but I should let people know, in case they aren't aware, that you have taken over the responsibilities as the CEO of... what's the name? Now, what have you changed
Child
the name?
Surf.
Child Surf.
It's called Child Surf.
Yes,
yeah.
For Child Surf.
That helps children and families who are at risk to build and lead better lives.
And it's I think that it's very commendable that you wanted to do something that had a direct impact on people's lives. Do something that really you could see the results of hard work directly. We have on the line. We're having a conversation about today's shooting. If I seem tongue-tied, it's because I'm constantly trying to figure out what direction to go in as we discuss the shootings in San Bernardino today. Again, we have former states. Well, I'm supposed to call you Senator. That was what you told me, right? I don't say former.
No, you just whatever.
Dan. Can I call you Dan now? That's just too weird.
Of course. The unique part about my field, former field, is you're referred to as your previously held highest title.
Okay.
So if you see Pat Quinn, you'd still call him Governor Quinn.
No, I'd call him former Governor Quinn to his face. Hello, former Governor Quinn. So we have...
That's because that's what makes you, because you challenge protocol constantly, which is awesome.
Exactly. I don't stand in whatever it is. Well, here, Dave, how would you like to be addressed, Dave? Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Good. I got some quick points. I'm going to rattle them off really quickly.
Okay.
What I think the United States needs to do, and I'm sure they've done it before, but they need to keep up with it, is number one is look to other countries and find out what other countries are doing that the United States are not doing. Now, I know it's been done, but they need to keep up with it. You know, we're the greatest country in the world, but yet for some reason we have dropped the ball on this gun issue and the violence issue. Number two is what they need to do is with people with, now, like in this case, it didn't occur today, but with people that have mental disabilities or maybe they're a little bit off, like the gentleman in Colorado, they need to somehow do a background check. Like if they go to a mental institution, automatically send it out to like people that you so they can never buy a gun. You know, it should be like their cross reference type thing. Number three, the United States has very no punishment with regards to gun laws. They really need to up it off. If anybody gets caught with an illegal weapon, 10 years automatically. No probation, no house arrest, nothing. Automatic 10 years. That's going to get a lot of people off the streets big time. And if you get caught a second time, 20 years and go for it. They coddle these people that get arrested with gun problems. And that's the problem that lies therein. Number four, and my final point, and I'm going to use this as an example. I'm not trying to be funny here. But you remember back in the 90s, there was a situation, I think he was a Marine that somehow ended up getting in trouble in Thailand or the Middle East, and there was a caning situation.
Yes, I do remember that.
Mm-hmm. Other countries don't play games with punishment. Now, I'm not suggesting the United States should get the caning. I'm not saying that. The problem is that there's no fear of authority and retribution. It's just like the old days, you used to have these gangster movies. Well, you're going to get the chair. Well, maybe they didn't give a care to these gangsters, but at the same time, there still was that a little bit more fear of what the consequences were. Now, a lot of states don't even have the death penalty. You know what I mean?
Right.
And if they do, they try to coddle these guys. Oh, well, we don't want to do it inhumane. We got to do lethal injection, no electric chair. You know, you got to set up and stop and put some discipline and some really tough measures. I think the United States is not tough in these four areas. I'll listen to your response. Take care.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. That's a lot of ground that Dave covered right there. Yeah, I mean, there is something. I was, oh, sorry. I'm pushing all the buttons now, Craig. I mean, I thought about that on the way here tonight, too, is we often say, well, what do the other countries do when it comes to gun control? Senator, I know that you've worked very hard in looking at the gun control issue, but can we look to other countries because of where we are now, how far we've come with the accessibility to guns?
Well, you know, when they had the mass shooting in Australia, they just banned all the guns.
Right.
And they had basically... They had licensed, I think, some existing possession. So that they haven't had a mass shooting since then. But that's not the culture that we have here.
Right.
We have a Second Amendment in the Constitution, which has been upheld in the courts. But the point here is that one of the things is how can you prevent some of these occurrences from happening. And some of these people, quite frankly, who are committing these horrific acts of violence don't really care about living or dying after they commit the horrific act of violence. Oftentimes it's a murder-suicide. And,
right.
And so, but the point is, people oftentimes are talking about, I think, the back end of the issue. The front end of the issue is, from the gun industry standpoint, is that, you know, guns that are made in this country are not required to pass the same kind of health and safety standards that toys are. If you make a toy, you have to pass these tests of sharp edges and points and loose parts and flammability and hazardous material, and guns aren't. And that's why you see this this change in these firearms and the lethality and how this militarization of the weapons that are out there and their level the level of havoc that they can wreak. Mm-hmm. On the lives of people who are shot. And it's just something that is changed over a period of time. So if somebody who happens to get a gun who is a criminal and they shoot somebody, the doctors told you that we'll point this out, that the injuries that they were seeing, instead of a one shot injury, they were seeing five person shot with five bullets or
right.
or 10 or 15. I mean, so there's, you know, it's something that has just occurred over time with the change in technology. And lethality is very much like the nicotine of the gun industry.
Mm-hmm.
The more lethal it is, the sexier it is, the more interesting it is. They want people to go out there. They want them to buy them. And again, we're not saying that people shouldn't have a right to defend themselves, right? But mm-hmm. it gets to a point where you're saying, well, why would somebody have a Tech 9 or a Mac 10 or an AK-47 or a gun that can get access to an ammunition magazine of 100 rounds? Why
right.
would somebody need that? And that's been a debate that continues. But again, I am not so much of the discussion is centered on the people. I should say it's isolated to the people that committed the crime. Of course, most of us would agree that you need to enhance penalties. Most of us agree that we need to do a better job of holding people accountable and having more discipline. But I think the hidden part of this discussion is this industry.
Right.
This industry that's out there that is basically is immune from culpability and responsibility, and they continue to make these weapons that end up in the hands of criminals, and there is no accountability for
right.
it, and there should be more.
And when we talk about mental health, by the way, I know that our caller also said that if someone has perhaps they've been diagnosed with something, they should never have access to a gun. I would rather there be treatment available so people don't reach the point where they want to hurt everybody else, where they have a lack of, where they come to the point where they have so much pain and rage. To say that someone who is diagnosed with something then should never have a gun, well, then why don't we just lock away everybody because they are incurable and have no hope? Why don't we treat them?
I passed a law that is a byproduct of the Virginia Tech shooting, that if you're considered a danger to yourself or your community, that you would be prevented from getting a gun if you're in a therapeutic context, right?
Right.
The reason why, and that passed, and it didn't take effect until after the shooting happened in Northern Illinois University, where the shooter had been going to see a therapist, but and was considered to be a danger to himself, but also was able to get access to a FOID card.
Right.
And that was a firearm owner's identification card. It wasn't until, but the law that I passed didn't take effect until after that transaction had occurred in that horrific shooting. that took place. So and there are things, there are steps that we, that people act as if we have gun control in this country. We don't have it. It's a myth. It doesn't exist. We've had it in isolated cases in municipal, like towns and cities, where we've passed very, very restrictive laws. But that's like an island in a sea of regulation that doesn't exist.
Right.
And 20% of the guns that are used in crime in the city of Chicago come from three gun dealers in the suburbs,
right,
outside of Chicago. And it's, you know, Chicago has very tough laws, but unless we do something about the gun dealers who are selling guns that to people who are criminals, who get guns into the hands of other criminals in the city of Chicago, then we don't have the kind of change that we need to see occur happen.
Right.
But gun control, it's a fallacy that it exists in our country. We have some background checks. We have some laws passed to try and deal with mental illness and confiscating guns from people convicted of domestic violence, keeping them from getting guns. But we don't really have strong gun violence regulations. Gun violence prevention regulations in our country, they just don't exist.
Right.
But people have given this notion out there that's been kind of put forward that, oh, my God, we've tried it and we failed. No, we haven't tried it.
Right. And
in fact, real quickly, in 1996, the Center for Disease Control was prohibited by Congress from conducting research on the root causes of gun violence. So we don't even have the kind of research that exists for other kind of related deaths in our country that we should have for gun violence. And they've been prevented by Congress from doing that since 1996.
Well, obviously things have to change. We are on the line with State Senator Dan Katowski. I know that we have John, Fred, and Dave on hold. We have to take a quick break, and I will get back to your calls after this on 720 WGN. Now I'm losing all the buttons. What is it called? Spots, right?
If you've been in Chicago long enough, you know.
Oh, yeah. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. On the air with us, we have State Senator Dan Katowski, and we're taking your calls about today's events. John, you've been holding on the longest. I'm going to take, John, like a half an hour. John, how are you doing?
Good. How about yourself, Patty?
I'm grateful that you hung in there, and I know you had a question, not quite on this subject, but on something that's important as well. What did you want to ask the senator?
Well, this, I've been watching the news since I got home about the shooting, which is just horrendous. And I've been listening to a lot of people been talking, and they're saying they want better regulations to get guns, better programs, and, you know, things like that.
Sure.
I have a brother who's disabled. He's been disabled since birth. And since my father passed away 10 years ago, I've been taking care of him. And within the past year, I had him out on his own in an apartment about a block away from me, which is fantastic. And he's doing fantastic.
That's great.
You know, and he was on, you know, a lot of the programs, like LIHEAP.
Okay.
Governor Rauner threw that out.
Oh.
Now my brother has to move back in with me because his Social Security doesn't cover that, and I don't make enough money to pay for half the gas and half the, you know, electric.
Senator, I thought that the LIHEAP was, they had reinstated that this week. They didn't? I mean, I guess you're not, I know that you're not there currently, but I'd read somewhere that LIHEAP was being funded again.
From what I understand, we got a letter from them not even a month ago because my brother had to re-up. And when we went to go re-up for him, they said it's Governor Rauner threw that program out, and that program is not going to be funded anymore. And I'm sitting there going, you've got to be kidding me.
Oh, no.
And I'm sitting there thinking to myself going, now they're going to want to put more programs, better regulations, and all that stuff to get a gun. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself going, now that's going to cost money to do that.
Right. Right. And where is
that
going to come
from? Why wouldn't you help people with disabilities and, you know, with problems? I mean, it's take care of your own people that need the help.
John, you know, absolutely, we've been asking that question and cannot get, this is another one where I can't wrap my mind around. This is where I, you know, we started going down to Springfield asking the exact same question. And there's just doesn't seem, you know, people try and they, you know, one of the reasons why bills started getting paid again was because people started suing. And that was the only way to get that done. What can people do about LIHEAP, Senator?
Well, first of all, I would say I want you to call this number tomorrow.
John, you got a pen, John?
Yes.
Okay.
Call 217-782-3875. It's 217-782-3875. That's Senator Murphy, who's my successor, and I'll talk to her about intervening on your behalf regarding the LIHEAP program. Now, it's my understanding that it was going to be reinstated. The budget that we passed, you included funding for LIHEAP, and so I'm sad to hear that there was a decision made to cut it off, because the governor, I don't know what prompted that decision, but this is a program that I cared about greatly, and I know my successor, Senator Murphy, cares about greatly, and I know a lot of people do. So I want to make sure that you call that number tomorrow, and that you talk to Senator Murphy. And I'm going to call her and tell her that you're going to reaching out to her and see what you do. What's your brother's name?
Chris,
okay. And we're going to do whatever we can to help Chris and to make sure that fund gets restored. Because, I can only imagine what it was like for your brother to have that sense of independence, living on his own.
Just to see the smile on his face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was everything.
We're recognizing, this is another example of a program that was effective, making a difference in someone's life. Just because there isn't this huge, powerful lobbying entity behind it, it doesn't get the attention that it deserves. And I want to make sure that we're responsive to your concern, and that you make the phone call tomorrow to see what we can do to advocate on your behalf. Does that sound fair, John?
Yeah.
All righty.
Yeah, John, will you also hold on the line? Craig's going to get your email information. I want to send you my email as well, because I want to follow up and find out how you're doing, okay? You and Chris, we want to make sure everything
is... All righty, my dear.
Everything.
I appreciate it, and thank you very much.
Well, look, you're Griffin to Declan. So that's what I hear in your voice. So thank you so much, John. Hold on the line, okay? All right. We have Fred on the line who wanted to join the conversation. Hey, Fred, how you doing?
Yes, we got a break coming, or you got time for me?
I got a couple. I had to turn my mic off for a second because I got a little choked up. Fred, go ahead.
Okay. Listen, I'm a Chicago police officer. I'm retired, living out here in Phoenix. And I saw the national news in regards to the McCarthy firing.
Yes. Go ahead, Fred.
I'm sort of outraged about the whole thing. Here you got Mayor Emanuel, a guy that held back a video of a kid getting shot so that he could get elected. And he fires the guy, that has anything to do with that. I mean, as far as I know, I worked for all different superintendents, and a lot of them were just pencil pushers, in my opinion.
Fred, we're not cutting you off. I just have to I do have to take a quick break, and I'm glad that you had to share your thoughts. Hold on 1 second. More after this on 720 WGN. I got a lot of passion in Fred's voice. More after this. You've been listening pretty late, and State Senator Dan Katowski has been generous with his time. And Fred, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Did you say you were a former Chicago police officer? Hey, Fred? Fred? Did Fred go away? No? Hey, Fred? Senator? Oh, hi.
Yeah.
All right. Fred, did you say you were a former Chicago police officer?
Yeah, I worked, for many superintendents, and like I said, they were pencil pushers. But I watched this McCarthy. I thought McCarthy was a pretty decent guy, and he did a lot for the department. He gave him the assault weapons.
Fred, I have a really quick question, because we are out of time. But here's my one question, though: is it necessary to go outside of the city of Chicago to get a superintendent? Because my sense is, I would want somebody who's come up through the ranks in Chicago, knows the streets, knows the people, knows the gangs, and where the crime is, and kind of just the general atmosphere. Is it better to get somebody from outside of the city, or is it just a pen?
Well, it all depends on the type of who you're getting. There's guys with a lot of experience from outside the city. It's better to get them from inside the city,
that's,
like you said.
That's what I think. Yeah.
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 I personally don't even know where McCarthy came from. All I know
Jersey.
Is I watched.
Wasn't it? He's from Jersey, I think.
It was New Jersey.
Yes.
I didn't even know that. But like I said, I thought he was a pretty decent guy, though, because a lot of the guys, from within that you're talking about, they're nothing but a bunch of pencil pushers of people that suck to get up to the top, where you get a guy from outside, he's a new guy.
Exactly. He's got to learn everything.
I think he did a decent job as far as I know. And I called the union, and the union said that he's a pretty decent guy. Guys like him. Some guys don't like him. I mean, there's always people that don't like the guy because he fired a few people for Instances that weren't that great, and a lot of people don't like them for that.
Right. Fred, I'm glad you got to share your thoughts with us, and I think there are probably people who agree with you, people who don't agree with you, but it's important that you join the conversation. Thank you so much for listening, too, Fred. You have a good night, all right? Yeah. Happy holidays. Dave, I'm so sorry we can't get to your call because do we hang on till after the hold Dave on till after the
yeah,
news?
Yeah, we could try to get to that last call. And by the way, McCarthy worked in New York first
before Jersey. All right, Senator Katowski, we want to thank you for your time. I know that you've got to get to work in the morning, so thank you so much again. The CEO of ChildServe has been on the line with us, sir. Have a great night. We'll talk to you next in 2 weeks.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely.
I'm all off next week, and it's not we're not blowing you off. It's that I'm going to be gone.
Have a great night and good luck in LA.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for your conversation. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Before I talk to our guest for the next segment, I didn't want to leave Dave hanging on too long because you've been there for quite a while. Dave, what did you want to say about today's events?
Well, I'm just sorry that the former senator isn't on the line still, because I kind of wanted to ask him.
Oh.
We have pretty nasty political fights in this country.
Yep.
Everybody runs attack ads. Why aren't those who are pushing for stronger gun laws getting nasty in this fight? Why not?
I wonder if that's one of the reasons why someone like the senator decided to go into a sector where he could help people directly, because it was starting to get ugly. I'm only surmising from the conversations that we've had that he wanted to help people directly. You know,
I totally applaud that, and I really do admire him for the work he did in this General Assembly and what he's doing now. And it just we talked. The last half hour, you talked to the gentleman whose brother lost his lie he paid. I have a son who has mental health issues, and the funding cuts for that have been atrocious. These are people who don't have a powerful, well-financed lobby behind them.
Exactly.
The gun industry does.
Yes.
And so you've got to get nasty with them if you want to make any change, it seems to me. And I've always wondered why the people who are fighting for stronger gun laws don't get mean.
Well, nasty and funded. Those are the two. Funded is a big part of that. I think a lot of people would say that you'll see it all over the place. All the conversations are about, money talks. And that's frustrating. And it makes people like you and me upset. But then we are also the ones, you're trying to infringe on our rights. And it's not about that. It's about having a safer, safer
right.
country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dave, I'm sorry that I didn't have the senator on the line, but when we come back...
No, I appreciate you making the time.
Absolutely. Can you hold on and give us your email, too? I'll email you if you want to connect with the senator, too, and we can keep that conversation going. Thank you so much, Dave.
Right. Thanks.
All right, cool. We have in the studio with us, we have Shay DeGrandis. Is it Shay DeGrandis?
It's Shay DeGrandis, yes.
It's a lovely... DeGrandis is such
DeGrandis
a great name.
Is,
and you put it with Shay. It's like, it's monumentally
fantastic. My parents made that up.
They made the whole thing up. They just pulled it out of the air.
Pretty much.
And is Victoria getting on a microphone, too?
Yes.
Yeah, hi, Victoria. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you for having us.
Oh, my pleasure. You have to come closer to that microphone because you have a lovely voice. We want to hear it.
Thank you.
I'm soft-spoken.
And then that's what I wasn't trying to say that part, but yes, you have a lovely voice.
She's very soft-spoken.
Hello. And that's fine. As long as you're close, we'll pick it all up. Andy Orson also joins us from Cupid Players. Hey, Andy.
Hello.
I was trying to get Andy into part of this show because you do this show called Mortified, and mm-hmm. from what I can see, it's a lot about sharing stories from your childhood, teenage years, mostly like from pre-existing material, like
right.
diaries and things like that.
The only material you're allowed to use is pre-existing.
It's okay.
Pre-existing material. So you develop stories based on primary source materials.
Right.
So,
oh, cool.
yeah.
From your past. Do
yeah.
you have anything like that, Andy? Because it seems like you need more dudes.
Yeah. You're like a unicorn. You're like, we know you exist, I think, but you can only be seen by virgins, so it's hard.
I see a blending of some of the... I'm guessing there's got to be a few Cupid players that have some of the guys that have...
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give you my email address.
Yes, please do that.
Oh, yeah. I do have that song that's all voicemails from my dad.
He does. He has voicemails.
Song form.
Which, exactly.
That sounds promising.
It does, doesn't it?
Most stuff is just rehashings of my childhood. Most of my stuff is.
Right. So is my material.
Yeah.
Because I continue to be a child.
Exactly.
It takes a long time to work out of that, which is part of what the show is there's the memory of your childhood,
mm-hmm.
and then there's how you actually experienced it, which is usually on different ends of the scale.
Yeah.
So that's why we have to be like, okay, yeah, that's a memoir. That's how you remember it.
Right.
What happened. And then there's like how you actually experienced it when you were 12, which usually involves a lot more cursing.
Mm-hmm. Was there cursing when you were were you cursing when you were 12? I mean, I was. I'm not saying.
A little bit.
But a lot of kids didn't curse when they were 12, but in their diaries, they cursed a lot.
I don't know that I cursed in my diary. I think I cursed more verbally than I did in my diary.
You're one of the opposite people.
Yeah.
We call you the opposite people.
Because my mom was from Mexico, is from Mexico, and she wasn't as, let's say, stringent about my swearing in English. It wasn't that big of a deal to her. As a matter of fact, I taught her some words.
Oh, of course.
Or some phrases that were
good job.
Choice. Thank you very much. She continues to swear to this very day, and we're very proud of each other. but I don't think I don't swear as much when I write. Yeah. I don't, maybe because I just get it out of my system when I need to. It just happens.
We've had a couple of performers. One, Liz Grossman, who does a blog about food now. But when she was very sweet, very cute. And then in her diary, I can't say any of it on the radio. but it would literally be like swear word, swear word, swear word, swear word, swear word, swear word, my parents.
Oh, wow. Right? That's spectacular.
And so in the next show, we're very excited because we have Natalie Moore, who is the WBEZ Southside correspondent. She's like, I hate my parents. I hate them. And then there's like a bunch of swear words. And, you know,
that's great.
Yeah.
Do you
but she never swore out loud.
Do you record these shows for a podcast at all?
Yes, we have the Mortified has a podcast that comes out every Monday. You can hear it on getmortified.com. It's also on Radiotopia on PRX, which is really exciting.
That's
and
great.
So we're in like 15, 16, 17 cities across the United States. So they pull stories from all of them. So everywhere from like California and Oregon to Boston, D.C., Austin, Texas, Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of mortified people.
We exist.
Mortifying experiences. Esmeralda is up in our newsroom. Esmeralda, did you keep a diary when you were growing up?
I always tried.
Yeah. You tried to. Do you still have them?
Some of it.
She's like, what are you trying
what
to
are
do
you trying
to me?
To do to me? Well, knowing when you started talking about it, I was like, oh man, I have a very specific one that I've read recently, and I'm like, oh, it's so embarrassing.
That's the point.
I think we have.
That's why we call it mortified.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's not because it's like, yeah, this is really funny. It's like, oh god,
what did I do? I went back and read something that I was very proud of, and I wouldn't qualify for your.
You don't know.
I don't know
because there might have been the other entries on either side of it that might qualify.
A little desperate and needy, and then I was like, wow, I did that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, but then the other entries are desperate and needy.
Yes, they are. Yes. All of them. Oh, I would say everything else. I would say 99.
Everything except for that one entry.
That one thing
that you're proud of.
And I was like, wow, where did that ballsy girl go? That's what I want to know.
Come back,
ballsy girl. More after this on 720 WGN. We're hanging out with Shea DeGrandis, Victoria
Rodriguez.
I'm sorry, I don't know how to do it that way. She didn't
she
say
just,
it that way.
She
I just,
did not.
I did like a little snap there.
She's and from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
And Andy Orslin from Michigan.
Michigan.
Shea, where are you from originally?
Miami.
Oh, there you go.
I'm like totally Cuban, but not actually at all.
Cuban light. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by Shea DeGrandis, whose show Mortified is going to be this Saturday, December 5th, at the Promontory, and that's at 7 p.m. Tickets are $20 to $23. What's the difference between, is it the, depends?
I think it's 23 gets you a table.
Oh, you get someplace, put your drinks down.
Yeah.
Are there drinks?
There's drinks.
Excellent.
It's a restaurant and then drinks and both.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
So get there for a table.
Yeah.
I think it's worth
it. Table.
Otherwise, they like hold it. Or else put it on the floor.
That's awkward.
Which is fine. Those are good
seats,
too. They're all
well, yeah,
seats.
I mean, no, everything, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
No matter what happens. Even if you have to hold your drink, you'll still have fun.
And about how long do you have a time limit? Does the restaurant say, like, you guys got to be done at a certain time?
No.
Okay,
I don't know.
Like, I didn't ask.
I know. Oh, no. I don't know if there's another show after us or not. That's what I mean.
That's fine. You'll work it all out.
Yeah, our show is usually like an hour and a half. Each performer gets about between 10 and 15 minutes.
So. Perfect. Very good. Yeah. Do you give them a light? Do you like, or do you throw something
no.
at them? No, no lights.
Once they're up there, we don't want to make them more humiliated than they already are. It's already so embarrassing. Then we're like, shut up, get off the stage. And they're like,
move it along.
I haven't finished my diary. I was 15 yet.
Oh, man. Yeah, we have Andy Orschlund from Cubit Players joining us as well. Every Wednesday, we are delighted to welcome Cubit Player. Every Wednesday, you guys bring us a lullaby. Mm-hmm. But tonight, Andy with Cubit Players, and by the way, their performances are every Saturday night at Stage 773. Go to stage773.com/Cupid. And Cupid has a heart on every Saturday at 8. But tonight, you've changed things up a little bit.
I have.
You're not going to regale us with a song, with a lullaby. No guitar or ukulele.
I'm so disappointed. I just want to just throw that out there.
Oh, no, because he's brought us something completely different.
I know, but I really like the ukulele.
Oh, and I have the ukulele every time.
He does. Almost every
This is my life.
No.
You can look at my old diaries. It says it every time.
Well, let's see what happens without the ukulele.
Yeah, I have a slam poem here. This has just been kind of a joke with me and you people here at the studio. And so I'm finally doing
a slam poem. That's us, I guess.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Us people.
All right.
The slam poem is dedicated to Craig.
Oh, a little misty-eyed. Okay, here we go.
The little leaf is falling, leaf is falling, leaf is falling, falling, falling. Little green speck getting wrecked in the wind, twisted about like that cow in the Twister in Wizard of Oz when it was black and white, and the twisted Twister got the cow, lifted her, but somehow the wicked witch in the Twister was still on her bike. The little leaf is falling, 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 but sadly the leaf has no service to call. Can you hear me now? Good. The leaf is falling, 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 but before this leaf's crawling and falling, I've got to go all in. WGN World's Greatest News. And we coming at you from the world's greatest late-night comedy lullaby installments with Patty Vasquez. Our task is being funny and making funny songs that people want to hear, so they cheer, and we deliver. And I gotta say, it was some of the greatest nights this year. And I want to say I can just do this for life, pack up my gear, but I gotta say some special things while I'm here about someone who's near, and the leaf is falling, falling, falling on Craig. Hatched from an egg, and as the cracks of the shaking shell cascaded as if an avalanche from the egg, so did Craig, slipping so slippishly in sunrises that deliciously happened to be sunny side up. Craig never begs, uses his legs to stand every morning, toes digging into the ground like roots of a tree near his favorite playground where he'd play foursquare. Black magic, white magic, red magic, spinning that kickball in the air, flying it up, 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 dancing it on the concrete back and forth through squares like a mistress taken to different motels, but not really a mistress to like elementary middle school Craig Collins, but like a metaphor, you know, of like an older Craig, like he's now kind of like Charlie from Lost, but maybe another character from Lost is more like him, I'm not sure. Wait, didn't this metaphor start with Craig as a tree? Yeah, he was a tree with leaves, and toppling from the egg, my leaf is falling, 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 tumbling, whistling in the wind, and that whistle is sound, bound for a hound's round eardrums, and that dog will hear dog music, some version of whistle barking, but it's not whistle barking, because sound and dog music and whistle barking are just music, 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 barakasha, and music brought us to Craig, hatched from an egg, and music brought us to Patty, and when the Cupid players and Craig and Patty get chatty, it's so good, it's like a cloud raining delicious Asian banh mi sandwiches with lemongrass tofu. It's so good, it's like 7,000 virgins. Not like you're thinking, not sexy virgins, just real nerdy, awkward virgins. But they all have sex for the first time right then, and it's so good. And then afterwards, they talk to each other about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it's so good, it's like we all laughed insanely for an hour and officially had a patty melt. And it's so good, it's like someone pooped on Donald Trump. And it's so good, it's like when I first realized that Bernie Sanders' voice was just like Cam and Ferris Bueller's Day Off saying, Rooney? And it's so good, it's like this list is over, and we're all at home in our beds, and we're snuggling with the ones we want to snuggle, and everyone understands everyone's point of view for the most part, except for that little curiosity that keeps us questioning and wanting more. And it seems though I'm still talking, my little leaf has hit the floor, proving that one thing does not always determine another thing. Like maybe one day the world could be gun-free, and maybe someone can poop on Donald Trump. And maybe we don't have to just pick one character from Lost Craig's looks like. He can be Charlie and Boone. And maybe Cupid's aim is not so true, because WGN, I think that little leaf was from some funny branch we hit with our shoes when we accidentally shot ourselves before we met you. Shaka, 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 shaka.
Oh my God. Oh my.
Wow.
This happened.
Such a silly poem.
That was spectacular. That was a lot. That was really. Wow. I didn't know what to expect, and I'm delighted.
Oh, thank you.
Well done, Mr. Orshley.
Thank you so much.
I really liked the topic this week. It was a very good poem.
Very good.
I have a lot of feelings.
I do. A lot of feelings.
I have a lot of feelings. Right
so
now.
Many feelings.
I like, wish I was a virgin pooping on Donald Trump.
And having sex for the first time.
Not no. with him in the room.
No, God, no. No,
no him not in the room. No.
Him not in the room.
I want to get to that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. conversation with all the virgins after.
I know, yeah. Right?
That sounds fun.
I think we know too much now.
Now, a lot. We know a lot and less, oddly. It's so weird.
Yeah. I know a lot and nothing.
We can't talk about it now. Spoilers. We can't talk about it.
Plus, I'm 3 weeks behind on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So. Oh. Do you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I've only watched the first two seasons. I haven't watched the
The season's very good. This is very good. That, now, in people's diaries, do they talk about the shows that they watched like as a kid? Because, I mean, like you have all the, like, is there...
Even better than
like,
that?
Full House. I watched Full House last night.
No. Well, that happens every once in a while. You have somebody like, I watched this last night and this thing, and then every
Uncle
once
Joey
in a while you
was so funny.
Yeah, and then every once in a while you'll have people who write entire episodes for like All My Children, where they put themselves in it
in Pine Valley. Really?
Yeah, well, yeah, because once they realize that one of the characters is a lesbian and it's the only person that they can actually relate to in their small hometown, they write not only letters to the actress who plays that that lesbian on All My Children, but then they actually rewrite scripts so that they go to Pine Valley to find their sister and then fall in love with, yeah.
Their sister?
Their sister.
Oh.
No.
No. That would be mortifying.
Yeah.
That would be. I think it might have happened.
It might have.
Yeah.
Andy Orslin, thank you so much for your
thank
wonderful
you. That
poem.
Was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That
it was so spectacular. Much fun being here.
I still have feelings.
Yeah. There's a lot of feelings.
I'm going to go home and write about them.
And then Craig is overwhelmed.
In your diary.
He might listen to that. That might actually be his lullaby every night.
I think I'm just going to use that as a ringtone, actually.
Oh,
I.
Falling,
and, 2 hours later, he answers the phone.
Go see Cupid Players every Saturday night. You can go every Saturday night, but they're on Saturdays.
Oh, yeah.
Cupid has a heart on. Go to stage773.com/Cupid. And Andy, are you on stage this week?
Yeah, this Saturday and pretty much every Saturday.
So go to most of Mortified. Go to most
of
Cupid
Players.
Yeah, what
time are you
guys
on?
Yeah.
8 o'clock Saturday
night.
Oh,
yeah, so we're totally conflicting.
I know, I feel bad. Oh. This is... It's okay. But maybe not this week, next week for Cupid Players, since you do that all the time.
Yeah, you guys do it all the time. We're like every like 2 months.
Yeah, our show like never stops. You can always come see it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Always.
I'm not trying to be competition.
Plus, Sketchfest is coming up in January,
yes.
Which I know you guys
come in January.
Come in January for sure. Two weeks of the biggest just combination of sketches from all over the world sketch groups. So we look forward to talking to you about that.
You have a show in there too, right?
I do have a show, Stupid Stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
My son named that one. That's how he named my show, Stupid Stuff.
Stupid Stuff.
No, Stupid Stuff.
Do you practice around him and he's like...
No, because I don't use that kind of language in front of him.
No, that's because he uses it in his diary.
That's right. Oh,
and it all comes back.
Yeah.
Andy, go teach a little ones tomorrow morning, will you?
I will.
Go do stuff. Andy Orslin, we're going to more with Shay and Victoria from Mortified when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by Shay DeGrandis and Victoria Rodriguez from Mortified, and looking forward to talking to them about their show coming up on December 5th at Promontory, and the show is at 7 o'clock. We have, I want to introduce you to a good friend of the show, a good friend of mine, Michael Palasak, who was one of the finalists on Season 9 of Last Comic Standing. He's performing in Effingham this week. Hey, Michael, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Patty?
I'm really good. Where are you right now in the world, by the way?
I'm in my the town I grew up in, Wabash, Indiana.
Oh, okay. That's cool. You get to come home for a little bit.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. We did L.A. on Sunday, which is where my apartment is now, and then we did Wabash tonight, and then we're doing Skokie tomorrow. So it's like all the places where I've lived in the last.
Wait, you're doing Skokie tomorrow?
Yes, go view tomorrow.
Oh, I thought you were doing Effingham. Why did I think you were in Effingham tomorrow?
I don't know. The press people have told you the wrong information. Yeah, we're in Effingham.
Can we talk about the press people, or will you get in trouble for talking about the press people?
Oh, let's talk about them. But
No, it made me laugh because I got an email about 2 months. Craig, I haven't told you this. So I got an email from Michael. Michael has people now because he was one of the finalists on Last Comic.
They're not my people. They're the tour people.
Yeah, the tour. So he's on tour with Last Comic Standing, and I get this email about a month ago or so from a woman saying, hey, Michael would love to be on your show. And I was like, absolutely. Michael's always welcome on our show. And then she wrote me back. She goes, never mind. It's not this week. And I was like,
oh, that's so nice.
It was so weird. I'm like, why did you reach out to me?
Yeah.
Michael, you don't need to send your people for me. You can just text me and say, hey, can I be
on your
show?
What happened was the press, the show, they wanted to get more press. They asked us for all the people we knew. And I was like, I'm giving him a list, and he's on that list. So I think, I was like, I thought the whole group might stop in the studio or something if it worked out travel-wise or whatever. I just thought that would happen. Within the tour, I just don't think about it. I just show up and try it. I didn't think about trying to set anything up. I was just like, they'll do it.
Right. Oh, and how much are you doing press every town you go into?
No, but there's been a lot of press, and some of the comedians don't want to do the press, so it's pretty much me and Andy.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Give me names. Yeah. Not on the air. But
and Andy Erickson do it.
This is inside baseball kind of a moment, Craig. There are comics who don't like to do radio. Are there reasons because they feel like they're giving away their material?
No. So I think the comedians that don't do the press, some of them like to do press. They just didn't like the way it was handled. Like sometimes we would go to a town and do press for that town after we had already been there, and they thought that was stupid. And then also, they just didn't like how they were treated at some places, and like how sometimes we would go to a radio station, they wouldn't know about the show or how they did. And they took a lot of things personally because they've been doing it longer and they care a lot more about their careers or something. So I'm happy to be here. This is good for me.
See, and that's the attitude. I mean, as a comic, that's kind of the attitude you always have to bring is like, I'm just happy that you want me to share my story or, have a conversation.
I don't want you to know my name just in case it's horrible. Like, that's good that you don't know who I am or what I'm doing right now.
What a presumptuous position to be in. Like, you don't know. I've been doing comedy for 20 years. I would never be so presumptuous to go into a town and assume they knew who I was. That just seems like a bit much. So you tell them I said so, Michael. And
in their defense, it is kind of like a night after night grind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that brings out not necessarily, like, there's been times where I haven't been super nice to people, and I'm a nice person.
What?
I don't like how people treat me. Usually because of something they did, and I'm reacting in a way that I think is.
Is it weird to have been thrown into this? Not thrown in, because obviously you wanted to compete on Last Comic Standing. Where did you end up? I forget.
When they taped the show, they taped in order, but when they did it on TV, it was just the winner, Clayton, and then everyone else in the top five was second. So
Everyone in the top five was second. So you came in second.
Yeah, that's what I'll go with.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that, by the way. You are one of our favorite comics. And it's exciting to know that you're on tour. And I love seeing your pictures on Facebook and on Twitter. What's been your favorite town to go into?
I mean, this is a town I grew up in, Wabash, and it's about a town of about 10,000 people, and about 1,000 people came out to the show tonight. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's exciting.
To get back here and see a lot of people I knew. And honestly, like, it's just wherever we go. Like, Nashville was fun. Nashville is pretty cool because I'd never been there. Usually the shows where I get to go up later in the show, I'll get to see the town a little bit more because I'll just wander around sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans was pretty fun.
And what's been the reaction from audiences for the Last Comic Standing? Because it's one of those things where we keep thinking that Last Comic Standing is not going to come back, and when it does, people are really excited. This is a show that's been very successful and helpful to a lot of comics.
I mean, as a comedian, I'll go on stage and I'll try to. I'm up there. I'm like, oh, I got to do well. This is important. But a lot of people just love the show, and they're going to love whatever it is. So it's kind of like a great surprise every show to be like, oh, people have just loved. Because we were on TV for the show, and they loved the show all the years. And those people are out there that watch the show every year and loved it and are out there because they know it.
Does that give you a little bit of room? Because you're always writing. You're always writing new material. Yeah. Does it kind of help you out a little bit in that sense, knowing that you're going to have a strong crowd, and then you can sort of put the material out there and work with it a little bit? Because I've found that when an audience is really strong and will meet you and trust you and actually adores you already, that it can be fun to play with new material.
Well, it is for sure. That's definitely the case. The only thing that I do know is that when 1,000 people don't laugh at something, you feel it. So,
oh. It hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts in places that you can't say on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you remember it and they remember. And, like, especially, I'll do new stuff at the beginning because they like you a lot at the beginning and they don't even know what you're going to talk, how you're going to talk, and how you're going to get to the laugh yet. So
right.
That's how I can get away with stuff. But I've done stuff where I've done new parts of jokes near the end of my set, and then I go back and listen to it. I'm like, oh, that's like I didn't pinpoint like on a mat. Like, that's exactly the moment I lost most people.
Right.
And I never got all of them back. Like, they, some of them are still missing somewhere, like that show off. Like, some of them are going to be on an island, and we're never going to find them for 7 people.
That is so funny. I mean,
that tag that I thought would be amazing.
Yeah, the thunderous thud of 1,000 people not laughing. Just, I could feel that into my, when you said that, it hurt me immediately. It is monumentally the silence of
because
that.
They don't just go along with it. Like, they know they're supposed to laugh. They're just listening for you to make them laugh. They haven't done it yet. And you're like, oh, that moment has come, and they did not respond to it. So
high expectations.
Yeah.
Their expectations are too high.
Yeah.
So where do you come, like, how much time do you have on this tour? How much material are you doing?
Everyone does 20 minutes every night.
Oh, cool.
So I've been sort of, I started out with a set, and I'm at a set right now. And next week, actually, in San Francisco, we're taping a set for CISO. It's like NBC's new website streaming service or whatever. So I think everyone's kind of working on stuff for that, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I've kind of like, I kind of like do something new at the beginning if I have it, and then maybe something in the middle of like an old joke, and then I'll just sort of do that and see where it goes. And there's definitely shows where I'm like, why did I do that? And it's like, because you learned not to do that anymore.
Right.
Or whatever. So, and I think when I get back in the clubs, I'll be able to like take all these jokes that I've worked on and they'll do right now because it's like, and just sort of like put them back in, see how it works with that.
So wild. Who's on the tour right now?
Yeah, it's Clayton English one, and he goes up last every night. And then the rest of us rotate, and it's Ian Bagg, who you probably know from clubs and stuff. Yeah,
uh-huh.
He's been around. And Dominique is from D.C. originally, but lives in L.A. She's on Black Jesus, if you're familiar with that show at mm-hmm. all. And then Andy Erickson is originally from Minneapolis, and she lives in L.A. And then myself. There's just 5 of us.
5 of you. Wow, that's spectacular. We're so excited for you. And do you know when you're coming back through Chicago?
Yeah, so I'm doing Zanies in Rosemont December 16th, 17th, and 18th.
Okay.
19th, I think. And then I'm doing downtown Chicago December 30th. I'm doing like December 30th and then January 2nd and 3rd downtown, and then the suburbs on the 29th and 31st.
So you're doing New Year's Eve in the suburbs?
New Year's Eve is in St. Charles, and December 29th, I think, is in Rosemont, and then 30th, 2nd, and 3rd in downtown. Yeah,
and how
I'm
can
really
people
do that.
And how can people all over the country find out about the tour schedule for Last Comic Standing that you're the tour? You're on?
My assistant / younger brother has updated my website with all the pertinent information. And we're doing the Midwest this week again, and then we go out to Hawaii the next week. So that's where we're at.
So everyone go to michaelpalasak.com. And by the way, that's spelled it's Michael, traditional spelling.
Yeah.
But Palasak is P-A-L-A-C. No.
Nope.
Nope, nope, nope. I was wrong. I got it. Wait.
I got it.
P-A-L-A-S-C-A-K.
Yep.
It's Palasak.
Mm-hmm. They can all just Google like pal-sak, but I can't be responsible for any websites that come up other than mine.
What you need to do is buy them all. Did you buy Michael Palasak spelled S-A-C-K?
I should. That's
yes.
Smart.
Yeah. No. I shouldn't have said that on the air. Hurry up. Go do it right now. Tell your brother tell your brother to go buy that.
Yeah.
Even if he's sleeping, wake him up.
Yes.
Yeah. It's important. Okay.
I think so.
To wake him up.
And if you go to his website, I'm trying to find your, you can also follow him on Twitter. Same spelling, Michael Palasak.
Yep.
You should also get that Twitter handle, by the way. Get both Twitter handles.
Apparently. If you just Google Palasak, traditional spellings, you get Michael's Facebook. So,
oh, there you go.
Yeah, you've done well, Michael.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. I'm glad that we learned something today.
Yeah, I think you should know that. Let's see, at the top of his website, you can go to his appearances, all the stuff that he's performed in. He's been on Conan O'Brien. He's done his own half-hour comedy special on Comedy Central. He's been on David Letterman. He was on with Jay Leno. But you know what? All you need to know is he is on the Last Comic Standing tour, and he'll be in Chicago at the end of, December 16th and 17th, you said, at Rosemont?
Yeah, Rosemont, December 16th week, and then around New Year's, kind of all over the suburbs and downtown.
All right. Well, yeah. I only have 5 more shows left for the rest of this year, Michael.
Oh my gosh.
I know. So hopefully we can have you on maybe the 15th. The 15th is really crowded already, Craig, isn't it? We can have Michael on one of those days.
I don't know if I don't know. I might be going to Disneyland that day, so I'm not hoping.
Yeah. Well, I'm going on the 18th. So
can
there
I
you
call
go.
Disneyland.
I'm going to Disneyland. I'm sorry. I'm going to Disney World. Never mind.
Okay.
That's right.
Scratch that.
No, see, Michael's he's a regular visitor. He loves Disneyland.
I have a pass, but I haven't used it in a while because I've been on the road. So.
Well, hopefully next year I'll get a discount. We can go hang out there together.
That would be awesome. I would join you. Sam and I will be happy to join you.
That'll be a lot of fun.
What was I going to say?
I don't know.
Oh, I did your New Year's Eve show one year, but it was a different show than now. I remember that. I remember I did New Year's Eve and you had to go do your show.
We were at Crackers. No, we were at Crackers in Indianapolis together. You were there.
Well, we did that, but then years later, when you were on the radio, I came in and did the interview there.
Oh, that's right.
I drove out ahead of me.
I gave you $100 to go open the show for me. That's right.
Yeah.
I owe you for that. I know. Still haven't paid him. I did. I gave him cash out of my pocket.
Yeah.
Because I sell merch, so I had all my t-shirt money ready to go in case there was a blizzard. That's what happened. Yeah, thank you again for that, by the way.
That was one of my girlfriends and I, like, first date, was like her coming with me to that show.
And she's a lovely lady. We love Sam Ward. She's adorable. Well, hopefully, if you're in town, if you are here on the 15th, hopefully we can have you on.
Yeah.
And,
for sure.
And bring Sam, too, if she's around. We'll promote her shows, too.
Yeah.
All right. Be safe, definitely. Michael. Get some rest, will you?
Thanks, Patty.
All right. Hey, wait. You're in Skokie tomorrow. Where in Skokie?
The Skokie Performance Arts Center. It's whatever theater has the word Skokie in it.
The North Shore Center for the Performing Arts in Skokie, Illinois.
That's it.
Go to michaelpalisak.com to get information about all of those performances coming up. And you are, by the way, in Effingham. You're in Effingham on Friday.
Effingham Friday, then Michigan on Saturday.
Yeah, Manistee, Michigan. And then he's in Hawaii on December 10th. All right.
Yeah.
That's it. Bye, Michael.
We'll
talk to you soon. More with
that's not fair.
I know. More with Shay and Victoria. We come back on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I want to thank my guests, Shay DeGrandis and Victoria Rodriguez, for being so patient and kind of rolling with all the different things
rolling
we had
with
going
it.
Yeah, because they have their show. This is your segment now. This is just yours.
Oh, hey.
Hey, what?
What?
They have a show that they do every few months. How do you decide on the schedule for this for Mortified?
We all have full-time jobs. It's me and Victoria, who both work at the Art Institute of Chicago. And then we have another co-producer, Annette Ferrara, who works at IDEO. So we all have full-time jobs. So we kind of have to,
I love that you're giving us your daytime resumes.
That's my daytime resume.
I feel like we should visit you at work or something and be like, hey.
You never know. You might need a free pass to get into the Art Institute. These would be the girls to talk to.
What? Hi.
Hi.
I have a family of 4.
Yeah. No, I can just walk you right in.
All right. Excellent. Yeah. I like that. My favorite room is actually the armor with all the armor and weapons, all the ancient, axes and swords.
It's on the second floor.
Oh, they moved
by
it
the
up.
American. Mm-hmm.
They moved it from the right. It used to be on the first floor.
They moved it to, it's all Indian art now.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. I should go take a look. Indian, like Native American art,
no,
or
like
Indian?
No,
I don't know.
That's
sure.
In a side gallery. Who are you kidding here?
We're not going to prominently display that.
No.
Well, poor Victoria's like just trailing off. What was it?
The armor is actually closer to the Native American art now.
Okay. So it's sort of in that same area.
Yeah.
What are people,
war. It's in the war area.
What are people drawn to the most? What do you see? What do you hear?
Impressionism.
Impression. You sound so disappointed by that.
No, that's just what everyone wants to see. Or American Gothic and the Edward Hopper.
That's it. And everything else doesn't exist.
You have Sunday in the Park with George, don't you?
We do.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, then.
We have monkeys in the museum.
It's one of the premier art collections in the world.
Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. That's what they keep telling us.
That doesn't
make our salaries go up. But,
I know.
Whatever.
It's because you keep giving away free tickets.
That's not my fault.
No, I'm just kidding. You're not doing that. So every few months you have this opportunity to do a show called Mortified.
Yes.
And tell us again about this show that you...
So Mortified is a show, we call it Personal Redemption Through Public Humiliation.
Excellent.
Yes. So basically we meet with people and have them show us their diaries, journals.
What do you mean show them? If I hand over my diary and you decide what I'm going to do?
No, we do is we sit down, we have a conversation, you tell us about your life, about being Mexican and Irish and Mormon and all these sorts of things and the drug companies, and then you sit down and tell us about what's in your journal and what your life was like at the time that you wrote it. And then we're like, well, and we ask questions, and then we say, well, pull something out and tell, you know, that's embarrassing. And people will read something that's really horrifying to them, or part of a story that they think is really interesting or funny. And then we keep talking to them about it. And we usually do this with two people so that one of them can talk to them. And then, like, I'll be like, can I look at your journal?
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll hand it to me. And then the other person's talking and I'll look through it and I'll be like, well, what's this about?
What's, you said one thing, but I want to know more
about
this.
I
want to
know about this. Because oftentimes people think one thing is really funny, but there's a whole backstory, or there's something, all this whole other thing happening. And so then we get to have like a bigger conversation about their life, which is really interesting.
And how do you find the people that volunteer for these shows?
They all apply to do it. They go to getmortified.com, participate,
mm-hmm.
and then you can enter in your information, and it'll say, depending on what city, it'll be like Chicago or Los Angeles or wherever. And then that email comes to me, and then I go through them all. And I take a day.
You take a day.
To like go through them and email them. We'll set up like a screening day. Mm-hmm. And then we'll just have people, we spend like an hour with them at first to just see what they have. And then as we're deciding to plan the shows, we just have them email us some material. And then we spend usually at least a month to like 2 months.
About with, 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least. Piece, yeah. Yeah, with the performer and edit down their material and then help them tell a story.
So it sounds like you get people from all walks of life then. I mean, you can get an accountant or a firefighter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you get very many men that submit for
no.
the... Why is that?
I think partially it's because men don't keep journals.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of men that have come to us, it's usually like songs. Like they're like, I was in this band and I wrote these really awful songs. That's really common. Or
okay.
poetry. Or like English assignments. Or like... Oftentimes, the men will have like journals, but they were part of an assignment for
right.
a class.
Interesting. So, they'll write
forced
differently.
To do it.
Right. So they'll write differently because they were forced
yeah,
to do
no,
it.
No, not necessarily. When you're in high school and you're a boy, you're not that smart.
No.
No.
To sort of shield yourself.
No. We had somebody in a show a couple of shows ago who like their journal was given to the teacher every week, and he wrote something about the teacher in the journal. That was like, she wasn't there that day, and he wrote this whole thing, like, where could she be? Maybe her aunt died. Maybe her dog died.
Oh.
No, that can't be it. Maybe she got back with her boyfriend. Maybe that's why she's not here. You know.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love
and
where the mind goes.
And then she just keeps going and going and, like, basically, like, making her into this, like, crazy slut woman. And
wow.
she's like, what?
And then he hands it over to her.
And he hands
here's,
it over to her.
Here's my journal for this week.
Here you go.
Craig, did you keep any journals?
Yeah.
No.
See?
No.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
But I did actually write music for a band that I wasn't
there you go.
Oh, do you
there
still
it
have it?
Yeah, I have all that music.
Okay, so when do you want to be on the show?
That's not really good stuff, I don't think.
That's
that
the
sense.
Point, Craig, is we don't want good stuff, because if you had good stuff, you would have a band.
I mean, I wrote a bunch of songs about this girl that I like.
That's the best kind.
No, it's not.
We don't want to hear about requited love.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be unrequited.
I don't
want to
hear about
painful.
Songs about, like, you know, the
how
woman you ended
you
up marrying.
Mm-hmm. You want those excruciating crushes that you still go, what humiliating things did I do to
yeah.
try to get her attention? So if people wanted to participate in Mortified in order to submit for that, the website again?
It's getmortified.com
mm-hmm.
/ participate.
Excellent. But mm-hmm. this performance this Saturday is
mm-hmm.
at 7 p.m. at the Promontory.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Say,
this
yeah.
is our first Southside edition.
Where is the Promontory?
The Promontory is in Hyde Park, which is basically an island, and it's really difficult to get to. So be prepared for that. yeah, it's down where
don't
University
let that
of Chicago.
Discourage you.
No,
yeah.
don't let that. That no. just you're an adventurer.
Well, people listening might actually live on the South Side as
oh,
well.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You have a lot of
then they just
all
have
the
like
area.
You can walk there.
Yeah, there you go. So
mm-hmm.
this is at the Promontory, and you have the address for the Promontory.
Oh my gosh, no.
All right, let's look at Craig. Can you look up the address?
It's on like that South Lake Shore and 53rd Street. Mm-hmm.
So getmortified.com. Does that have the information for the show?
Yes.
Getmortified.com.
Yes.
So go to getmortified.com, and that's going to be this Saturday, December 5th at 7 p.m. And these are everyday people reading about their most embarrassing, pathetic, and private teenage diary entries or poems, love letters, lyrics, and locker notes. I love this. It's a great idea.
It's a lot of fun.
Congratulations on this. And we want to get together with you again before your next show.
And
let us know if you want to come on and ask for more submissions. If you're,
I would love that.
And
I
also,
mean, yeah.
Yes,
I just want like lots of different people from all over Chicago.
And then the podcast too. That's every Monday, you said?
Yes, it comes out. A new episode comes out every Monday. Each episode is based on one one performer.
Okay.
And I think they've had like two or three from Chicago, which is really exciting. So I'm excited.
Wonderful.
About that.
Well, thank you, Victoria.
By
and
the way,
Shay,
that address real quick.
Yes.
5311 South Lake Park Avenue West.
Lake Park.
5311 South Lake Park.
5311 South Lake Park Avenue West.
Excellent. I knew there was lakes. Mm-hmm. And it was around 53rd. Thank you, Craig.
There you go. That sounded actually.
And I really, really want to hear your songs.
Me too. I want to hear all that. All the unrequited love that was not requited. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And joining us right now is Adam Selzer. He's an author, tour guide. He's launching a brand new
tour company. Yeah,
yes.
New tour company.
What's it called?
It is called Mysterious Chicago Tours, mysterioushicago.com. It's
Congratulations.
A whole broad range of different kinds of tours that I can do besides just the old ghost tours. I'm going to be doing cemetery walks. There's a whole thing called Grave Robbing 101. That's everything you need to know to launch your career as a 19th century grave robber.
So what kind of techniques did they use in the 19th century?
The big thing that messes people up is people always, in the movies, they're always digging the entire coffin up out of the ground. That's a rookie mistake right there.
Okay.
All you have to do is dig a hole down to the head of the coffin, and you just cut a hole in it.
Cut a hole in the coffin.
In the coffin, and then you know.
But then you sort of just have a tunnel, like how big of the
About a third the size of the whole grave, which is pretty standard.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know why I'm even asking this question, because
I
assure you I will never...
It's not like you can just bust into a modern casket with a shovel anymore anyway.
No, I would imagine not. So it's Mysterious Chicago Tour.
.com, yeah.
MysteriousChicago.com. Oh, I spelled Chicago wrong. That's where my mistake was. I spelled it Chicago-y. Well, I'm talking to you at the same time. I'm trying to multitask while we're talking. And you have an event coming up at one of our favorite restaurants,
if not
my very favorite restaurant. Yes.
December 13th, we're doing a thing called Drink Like the Dickens over at Knife and Tine.
Craig, get this. They're doing all Dickensian. Dickensian?
Yes, Dickensian. Drinks that that I found in the works of Charles Dickens, like the Rocky Mountain Sneezer. That was one that he had when he was in the States. It's a mixture of three kinds of liquor and a handful of snow that they told him would cure what ailed him when he got sick in the United States.
Well, you know what? And this is going to sound crazy. That actually kind of makes sense, because then you get a little bit of what's in the elements of the location that you're at.
Yeah.
What a weird little sort of folklory, I don't know, old wives'
tales.
Also,
there's enough booze in one of those things that you're going to be feeling fine.
Or the other kinds of booze. Yes, Craig?
Yeah.
But they just would take snow from the ground?
A handful of New York snow, yeah.
That doesn't sound good at all, that part.
Well,
it's got to be fresh.
That's what I was going to say. The rule I have with Griffin is that it has to look like it has not been molested at all by the environment. It has to look like there's nothing has tainted it, whether it be dog or
and
air
you
pollution.
Don't want it to be too far down to the ground either. You want it to be you want there to be at least an inch or so of snow buffer.
Exactly.
So you're saying it actually fell from the sky in a Ziploc bag. Is
yes. Okay. That's what I'm going to need. You can taste that snow, but otherwise. Yeah, you don't want to go. You're not going to get it off the street. That's not right. Okay, so that's the
The Rocky Mountain Sneezer. His landlord in New York made him that when he was staying in New York for a while.
And where did he catalog these drinks?
That one was recorded in, I think, his letters, and also in a book called Charles Dickens as I Knew Him by George Dolby, the tour manager.
Okay.
Which is a terrific read. Really, it's really, even now, it's a terrific read.
Okay.
Talked about, in England when they were on tour, he was a power walker. He would just walk from town to town when he was on tour, and to pass the time, they would go doorbell ditching. There's a whole scene about doorbell ditching.
No.
They would knock on the door and then run away.
Ding dong. He would ding dong ditch people.
He would ding dong ditch people between
tour
stops.
Did you ever? We've never talked about this
Dickens
on the show.
Ding dong ditch.
Did you ever ding dong ditch?
No.
Esmeralda, did you ever ding dong ditch?
No.
Adam,
I would doorbell ditch the pearly gates.
Meaning you have. I don't know why I did. I don't. I cannot.
Really
I did. I don't know.
Did you guys hide?
Yeah, you
to
run.
Like see that you.
Did they open the door?
Open the door and get angry at you.
Run, yeah. I don't remember.
I was really intimidated by the kids that would do that. They were the bad kids.
I don't know why I ding dong ditched. I went to a school that had the kind of ilk, children of that ilk. Let's just say,
Craig, I think you and I were good kids.
We were good,
essentially.
I have
a streak that you do not know about. A little bit of mischievousness in my past.
The Cubs know about it, though.
The Cubs do know about that. I still can't believe I learned more about that story that I didn't. By the way, so this is to last night's show. One of my ex-boyfriends was on the show, also a comedian. But after I was married, a month after we were married, it was my birthday, and Kevin Naughton invited me to a Cubs game from which I was removed for indecent exposure. And apparently there are photos. I kind of want to see those photos because I know there wasn't any, there's not any full nudity, but there's some... There's some bra showing, that kind of stuff. Anyway, so yes, I did Ding Dong Ditch. I'm sorry, Charles Dickens did, or the person?
Charles Dickens Ding Dong Ditched.
See, I kind of feel a little bit better about myself. Yeah. That's the only reason I'm really admitting to it, because Charles Dickens did.
Was Charles Dickens ever sent to Cubby Jail? Just assuming he could have.
Probably not.
No, I'm
no, I know, timeline wise.
Yes,
didn't work.
Probably not.
His father was in debtor's prison. That's
there you go. Okay, so what? Now you, how many drinks altogether?
There's going to be four different drinks, I believe. There's also a rum flip, Port Negus, and I totally forget the other one right now.
Well, I know Nikki Allen has been hard at work creating these cocktails.
Nikki Allen has been hard at work working on these. There's also going to be several different kinds of food that are at least Dickens inspired, to like mutton meat pies. There's something called gruel shooters. I can't wait to see what a gruel shooter turns out to be.
Okay, mutton meat pie, gruel shooters.
Gruel shooters, okay. White bait fritters. White bait was a big dish in those days. Actually, I actually contacted Dickens' great-great-great-granddaughter, Lucinda, and asked, what should we do for the food? And that was what she suggested, was a white bait. And also Dickens was really into what he called cheese on toast,
okay,
which is what we call grilled cheese.
Cheese on toast sounds so fancy, though. Yeah. What are you having for lunch? Tomato soup and cheese on toast.
But that's, is that like the British people kind? Because that's different, because it's open-faced.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
Have I told you about my inside-out grilled cheese sandwich, Esmeralda?
It sounds lovely.
It's got grilled cheese on the inside and the outside. So you grill it with the shredded cheese on the outside as well. It's fantastic.
And that's like a crust.
Yeah. Mm. It's so good. I made it once, and my family wants it all the time now. So you got to be careful what you're good at. By the way, you can go. Let me find out more. Where can we find out more about the event for the drink?
MysteriousChicago.com will have a link. Just scroll down a little bit.
Okay, so go to...
A little bit under the events. There's three events coming up next weekend. Two tours on Saturday, and then on Sunday is Drink Like the Dickens.
Let me see. But in addition to that, you have the walking tours, Grave Robbing 101.
Yeah, we'll start scheduling those regularly in the spring.
And then you have Unsolved Mysteries of Chicago.
Yeah, we're doing that one on a bus on December 12th, actually. 4 o'clock on December 12th. We're going to, all kinds of unsolved mysteries from Chicago history.
Okay, so that's on December 12th. Mm-hmm. Trolls,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that'd be kind of cool.
I get to do Cemetery Trolls.
Yeah.
Would that be scary little trolls, or would it be people saying really mean things at headstones?
A little of both.
Okay, just checking.
There was a time I was going to do a whole thing. Remember the ice bucket challenge?
Yes.
I was going to go challenge Al Capone to the ice bucket challenge, just like pour some ice on his grave.
Oh, where is his grave?
It's out at Mount Carmel Cemetery, out in the west side.
I don't know why I didn't even think that he was buried in the area.
Yeah.
All right. Are there any hauntings associated with Al Capone?
Not that I can really think of. Not reliable ones, anyway.
Okay. So I'm at your website, right? Mm. It has available tours. Where do I find the link for the event?
It should be right up towards the top.
Let me see. Here,
hold on.
Do you see it?
Okay. You're on available tours. Go to the regular homepage, MysteriousChicago.com.
Oh, I see what I did there. All right. Let me go to the regular page. I want to make sure I got all the information. But, yes. This is exciting that you start. Now, when did you start with Mysterious Chicago?
Just a few weeks ago, actually.
That's
just
exciting.
A few weeks ago. I've been working on putting it together. I parted ways with the ghost tour company that I worked with for most of the last 10 years.
You were with them for 10 years?
Off and on. I was with a couple of different ghost tour companies.
Did you take any of those tour guides with you? Or are you the sole?
Right now, I'm the sole one.
You're the only tour guide?
Right now. Yeah, there's not really going to be too many tours until tourist season starts up. You don't do a lot of walking tours in Chicago in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm available for private tours for these kind of things all the time. But next Saturday, we've got my first H.H. Holmes tour that I'll be doing privately. I do Devil in the White City tours I've been doing off and on for years.
Mm-hmm.
And right after that is the Unsolved Mysteries, and the next day is Drink Like the Dickens.
And you can also go to atlasobscura.com events.
Yeah, I've partnered up with them to do all of these.
Okay, so that's where you can get tickets for the Drink Like the Dickens, but the link is on
MysteriousChicago.com.
Excellent. Yeah. So go to that link, and I will be there that Sunday, December 13th from 5 to 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. And you can get more information. That's going to be at Knife and Tine, 1417 West Fullerton Avenue. And I wonder if we can get Nikki or whoever's coming in on Friday to maybe bring us one of the Dickens cocktails for the weekend wine. Well, we'll see what happens. Yeah. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by author, tour guide, and the proprietor of MysteriousChicago.com with all kinds of tours, history at its coolest. And you can visit the website, get more information about the upcoming event at Knife and Tine, which is on December 13th, 1417 West Fullerton Avenue, and it's Drink Like the Dickens. Mm-hmm. And actually, the first one of the first parties that you came to, you brought us a Dickens punch.
Yeah, I brought the Charles Dickens' own recipe for punch. I remember I got your mother really drunk.
Yeah, well, I would, you know, she had to sleep it off in the back office there. Yes, that was at our one of our Thanksgiving parties that people came to. Craig, that was.
I'd have come if I was in town.
I know you were. I know you were out of town. We were fine. Yeah. We were fine. Esmeralda, she was you know, with her family. That's, you know, she was in Joliet. She couldn't make it down here. Mm. We had a lovely, cozy little Thanksgiving gathering. It was Carm and Roger Badish and me and Craig, and it was nice. It was very nice.
Yeah, it was real nice. We're probably not going to do it again.
About 15. Yeah, we're not going to have another Thanksgiving party. That was it. I mean, like,
it was so nice. We loved it. Well, we're not going to do that.
And here's the other reason: one, either nobody comes, or the people that do come next year, it'll be the pity arrival. Like they'll, you know, because nobody came last year, we'll have to come this year.
So
let's just remove all doubt and just.
Well,
not have.
We did talk about still inviting people, and then we just wouldn't.
We won't be here. Well.
I like that idea.
I got texts from people who fell asleep after their dinner, and they're like, oh, my God, I just woke up. I'm so sorry I missed the party.
You had a minimalist Thanksgiving party.
It was very nice. Well, we realized 15 minutes before the show started that no one was coming, and Craig and I just started laughing because it hadn't actually occurred to us that no one would come.
Well, last year it was a huge thing, right?
It was huge last year, yeah.
It was, exactly.
Everyone came.
So see, it ebb and flow.
Ebb and flow. Well, that was the thing, is that we were so surprised that everyone came this year. And then there were people who were like, well, you didn't even invite me. And then I felt bad. It was so crowded last year that we wanted to make sure it wasn't, like, sort of uncomfortable. Like, we have, you know, only a certain number of microphones. We wanted to make sure everybody felt like they had an opportunity to chat.
I mean, we invited people on air during their segments, and they said yes on air to coming.
Joseph Giannini called in. We told him about it.
We have recordings.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's all right. Guys, it was all right. It was good. No, and by the way, we only have, after tonight, we have 5 shows left for the rest of the year.
Whoa,
that's it. So I Craig and I, have you taken all your time off? You're done.
I mean, I'm going to.
You're taking more of it off.
Mm-hmm. The December stuff. I pretty much, it aligns with yours on the 17th. Through the 30th, we're not here.
Yeah, we're not here. And Craig and I, we were on the phone with our boss, and I was trying to get one of my days back because Steve goes, how long are you off for? And I said, about 2 weeks. And he goes, are you sure that's a good idea? Because he goes, then you're just going to talk to us all the time. So maybe you want to see if you can get one of those back. So I tried, and they're gone. Amy Guth will be filling in for me on some of those dates. Hannah Stanley and Mark Carman will be in next week for me, as will
Dane Neal.
Dane Neal will be here next Thursday and Friday.
What you should do is just take a recorder around the house and record a few segments at a time, and we'll play all those back when you come back in on the New Year.
Well, I told you I want to do your podcast. You've been challenged.
To Fargo.
Yeah, you've been challenged to Fargo. You have to. Do you watch a lot of TV, Adam Sandler?
I do watch some TV.
What are your favorite shows right now?
My favorite shows right now, BoJack Horseman is my favorite show right now.
Why did I know you were going to say something I've never even heard of?
It's a Netflix series.
I know, I'm watching things on Netflix. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I can't remember the name of this show. Hold on a second. You guys keep talking. What is this show?
BoJack Horseman is so good though, Adam.
It's with Will Arnett.
Will Arnett is an animated horse who in the 90s was a famous TV star on a Full House type show called Horsin' Around, where three orphans live with a horse, and now he's now it's 20 years later. He spends most of his time drinking and writing his memoir, and there's 2 seasons, and really I just watched both seasons straight through over and over and over again.
I don't understand what's happening.
Wonderfully funny, lots of basic animal pun sight gags, and also it's horribly depressing.
I kid you not, I cried.
Yeah.
I cried a few times.
What?
Through that series.
I don't understand.
Because you kind of, the whole thing that he's a horse kind of goes away, sort of.
Yeah.
And you think he's just a guy.
Yeah.
And all his
feelings and stuff. And he kind of hates himself, tries to be better, but doesn't try very hard.
So he's a horse that stands
In this world, there's you know, a lot of human-esque animals all over the place. His agent is a cat. For a while, he went out with a deer.
What's the name of the show?
BoJack Horseman.
BoJack. Okay.
I'm curious how many episodes it takes to forget about the fact that he's a horse.
It's about 5 minutes.
It did take me a bit. Like, the first episode I watched halfway, and then I was like, oh, I guess I'll finish. And then I got into it. And it's really good. I couldn't stop watching. Mm-hmm.
The supporting cast is, by the way, Will Arnett does the voice. Mm-hmm. Supporting cast, Amy Sedaris, Paul F. Tompkins, who I love, and Aaron Paul. And this has been on for a year. I've never heard of the series.
There's two seasons of it, 12 or 13 episode seasons.
Okay.
And yeah, there's the lots and lots of people have done voices on it.
Patton Oswalt, Kristen Schaal, Stanley Tucci, Olivia Wilde, Wendy Malick, J.K. Simmons,
Alison Brie. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's all about Hollywood and all that kind of road.
All right.
That's good.
I will. I'm not a big animated series person.
It's not you kind of have to just. That's the medium they took. Uh-huh. But it's not.
How else are you gonna do the biggest thing? Yeah, I don't know how otherwise.
It allows them to get away with a lot more sentiment and depressing content.
Also, it lets them get away with a walking, talking horse.
Because there's a horse doing it. Because it's a horse saying these things.
A horse with like sweatpants. That's only animation, guys.
Okay, so you watch BoJack.
I watched BoJack Horseman. Yeah.
And that's the only show you watch. I'm not judging
much,
you.
Yeah. Lately, I just watched it over and over and over again. I don't know what that says about my life.
Do you get into sort of runs like that where there's just one show that you watch over and over again?
Because not really.
No.
Not usually.
This show.
Just this one, yeah.
Because for me, it was Gilmore Girls. I had that on
all
the time.
Oh, yeah, we've had that on off and on for quite a long
time. Oh, have you really? Yeah. Oh, you have another show. Mm-hmm. Esmeralda, what else are you watching on TV or on Netflix?
I just finished watching Difficult People with Billy Eichner, and I don't know who his co-host or his co-star is, but it's mainly Billy Eichner, two comedians.
Difficult
are trying
people.
To be funny in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And
is it funny?
Yeah, and they're really awful people. I can very much relate to them. Like, they don't like children and that kind of thing. Like, they hate certain things and everything bothers them. And for some reason, I'm like, I want to be your best friend. Yeah, it's really bad.
Well, there you go.
It's good. It's a good show. Billy Eichner, from watching that, I now want to watch Billy on the Streets.
Mm-hmm.
That's on True TV.
Yeah, I always see clips of that, like, on Facebook. People are always posting those.
What's cool about the show that she suggested is it's a Hulu original. So both of the shows that have been suggested so far are
not on network. We there are some network series, I'm sure, especially ones in the work that perhaps that you want to maybe check out. You know, I mean, I would say
I am watching Ash vs. Evil Dead. That's on Stars.
And how's that one?
That one's so good.
Is it really?
It's only half hours, and it should be an hour.
Yeah, that seems like that would be an hour show.
Yeah, it kills me that it's only a half hour because I want to watch more and more.
You got to watch Fargo. I
like Fargo.
No, I'm going to get into it.
Yeah.
I've heard way too much good things.
I think I haven't seen the first season with Billy Bob Thornton. I'm watching this season. I go back and I rewind and watch again.
I'm a few episodes behind this season, but yeah.
So have you seen Bruce Campbell in it yet?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Bruce Campbell plays Ronald Reagan.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh my God, it's amazing. It's not like throughout the whole series. It's just a couple of appearances, but it's so good. So, I mean, he's not doing an impression of Ronald Reagan. He's playing Ronald Reagan, you know, just his interpretation of.
Right.
It makes sense in my head. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And we've had a lot of guests tonight. It was very fun. We had a lovely phone call. Thank you so much, Rosemary. Craig shared the message that you wanted me to get. And I do appreciate all your kind words. And, you know, those are the kinds of phone calls we like getting and those kinds of texts. We didn't even get to any of our texts tonight. I apologize. It's been there were so many phone calls in that first 45 minutes about the events of, I guess, now yesterday in San Bernardino, and we talked about it for the first hour, and, you know, we've had a lot of guests and a lot of different topics. I don't want to shut down the door or you know, cut you off if you have any thoughts that you continue to have that you want to sort of talk through. So if there's anything else you wanted to share about that, please feel free to give us a call, 312-981-7200. Again, that's 312-981-7200. You can text us to the same number.
And I don't know if the people are still listening. We can share a couple of texts we got from earlier.
Sure.
From the 630, Patty, I'm having a terrible day today myself. I just need a hug.
Oh, that's so why I felt like that yesterday and today. I just felt I feel raw. I think that's what we feel is really raw. I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a virtual hug. Craig was extending radio hug for everybody right now. Everyone, you know
what?
Hug yourself, and we're hugging each other
as long as you're not driving.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No.
Right.
We'll wait till you're at a red light, and and then hug you. That actually feels kind of. Esmeralda, do that real quick. Craig, just hug yourself real quick. Just kind of squeeze yourself. Just squeeze. It kind of feels good. I don't know if it's because you're stretching too, like your back muscles a little bit.
It kind of feels weird though.
It feels. Why does it feel weird?
I don't know.
It feels really good.
I know I'm hugging myself.
You're okay.
There's no natural way to hug yourself.
Esmeralda's even patting herself. Like, I'm patting. It's okay.
You usually do. Yeah, you do a hug pat.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you guys aren't tricked by the sensation here. You don't feel like someone else is hugging you.
No.
I feel like I'm hugging myself.
Right, which is good.
I think it's the pressure.
Though. Yeah, the pressure feels nice.
Like, if I could wrap my arms the other way, this would feel great.
This is the best radio we've ever done. We're all just hugging ourselves. Just everyone.
Virtual hugs.
Virtual hugs. Everybody just hug yourself.
And hopefully you like it more than I do.
I don't know why you don't like that.
Because I know it's not real. It makes me feel lonelier.
But you don't like real hugs.
Right. I'm coming around though. I'm trying to force myself.
It's hard, isn't it?
I've hugged a lot of people in the last month.
Are you doing it? Are you telling yourself to do it?
Yes.
I will hug this person
every single time.
Does it help to hug yourself?
He doesn't like that.
This doesn't.
But I mean, you know,
now
that
people looking at me
used to hugging.
Three guys walking by watching me hug myself.
As I stated with the hugging yourself thing, it's not the same as a hug. It feels very different.
Yeah, but it can kind of get you.
Unless I hug someone from behind.
Okay, do it this way. Imagine you just stretching your back. Just kind of pull. You feel
the
shoulder blades.
Feels good.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm talking about.
My shoulders feels weird.
Okay, stop it.
From the 847, hello.
Hello.
Where is the evil and craziness coming from in this world? Yeah. It feels like we just need a purge. That was a movie, too.
Have you seen that movie?
Yeah, it's really rough.
It's really rough. That's mortifying.
I don't think we need that.
No, not the purge. Because then how do you decide?
Right? Yeah, I don't know.
That's what these people are doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, Esmeralda? It seems like they think they're purging.
Exactly. That's what it feels like, which is not good.
No. Ugh. Okay.
And then there was an ought to be a law suggestion. It ought to be a law that when someone calls the show and they say they're going to be really quick, they get at least 10 minutes to finish all their points.
They get 10 minutes?
Yeah, apparently.
Dave had a lot of points.
Right. Whenever
I tried to address all
quick,
of them. Yeah. That they shouldn't get 10. It's all
right. Right. I think this person was trying to go with the joke there.
It was good. It was a good joke. Right. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. 6-0. Right. You could have changed the punchline a little bit.
No, I think if you were actually like that, it should be a short amount of time. I was trying to figure that out. I felt bad for Fred, who was a former Chicago police officer. Mm-hmm. I wanted to let him vent and share his thoughts. And then we have the schedule that we're on, too. So, Fred, we do appreciate your phone call. Everyone's phone calls and texts. We appreciate all of them. And that's why we're also getting to the texts right now. We didn't mean to skip any of them. It was interesting because Monday night was sort of with Dwayne Kennedy and Erica Nicole Clark. I want to talk about that for just a moment. They were here talking about Laquan McDonald's, the videotape that was released last week. And I know that there were people who were probably appalled by some of the things that we were talking about. But the reason we just want to have the conversation. I mean, there are calls that we get that I kind of am taken aback by. And I try to I want to hear what people think. That was why when Erica shared some of her thoughts, you might have gone, oh, I can't believe she said that. But that's how she feels. And I really wanted to be able to have that conversation. And I want to thank all of our listeners who sent us messages appreciating that conversation. So, again, it's always about having a conversation. If we don't listen to each other, I think that more things are going to keep happening like this, where two people get angry or three people get angry and go into a social services building that helps people with disabilities. I don't even know how to wrap my mind around that.
Yeah.
So again, 312-981-7200 to talk about anything.
Well, and like you said, remember, it's a conversation. We're willing to listen to your points, no matter what they are. We're not trying to shut you out, but don't come in like yelling stuff.
Oh man, sometimes people do, but that's because people do
get
frustrated.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't post anything or say much about the speech that Donald Trump gave last week where he mocked a reporter who has a disability. But there was a mom who did post about her own son who has autism and how mortified and how hurtful that was. And she actually showed the video to her 10-year-old son who said, "That's mean." And really, if a 10-year-old has to tell you that's mean, what else do you need to know? I don't understand why people are still... When somebody goes after so many different groups of people, but now also the physically and mentally challenged, that seems like fair game. I'm talking about Donald Trump in his speech last week, where the audience laughed. He was mimicking a speech impediment and a physical disability that I don't understand.
Okay, you make a great point. One of the things I hate about any time Donald Trump things go viral the audience is always with him.
Yes.
The feedback he's getting every time he does one of these things is really positive. I don't know who these human beings are, but they should not be reacting like that.
Right. Before, I tried listening to people who but by the way, a lot of people who lash out about Donald Trump say really vile things. When I said he's a hate monger or anger monger, I mean that, because when you call me, when you say shut the F up, you C word, you kind of have proven my point. It's a lot of angry things. But Jack, what are your thoughts on what happened? Hi, Jack.
Hi. You know, I'm just kind of wondering, like, you know, if it comes out that these people were terrorists, I kind of assume that it will. Okay, so we got Al-Qaeda, they got Parrish, and I was listening to Roe earlier today. He was like, why would terrorists attack San Bernardino, California? Like, they attacked Mali in Africa a couple weeks ago. Like, is it the message that no matter where you are, like, no matter where you live, you could live in the middle of nowhere, you could live in Timbuktu, and you're not safe?
That, you might have a point. Hold on. I accidentally turned my television on. I think you have a point there, you know, that no matter where you are. The other thing I thought my brain just flashed to was, do they want to see, if it is terrorists, by the way, they are terrorists, they might be Americans who are terrorizing people in our own country, that it, maybe, whether it was a getting back for something, if they're angry about something, or, you know, if you're talking about, you know, extremists. I'm not sure what kind of terrorists they are, but they are terrorists. I wonder if it's also, if it is extremists, a group that's, you know, trying to see what the response is to our emergency first responders. What will they do in a situation like this? I don't know why my brain went to that, but, you know, that was something that occurred to me.
Well, and with extremists, too, I'm wondering if maybe they're just willing to take whoever, wherever they are. If someone is already somewhere and says, hey, we'll do this.
Right.
I don't know if that's how they pick places. I don't know how strategic they are.
Right.
There's got to be something, though, for, like, San Bernardino versus Los Angeles. Little bit of morbid humor for you here is, okay, so I work in the Loop, and I work at night. I get off at 12, and I drive home, and I live in Milwaukee.
Okay, wow.
And I had life. But I always kind of, you know, like, my company has a contingency plan, right? Like, in the event of terrorism in Chicago, like, I'm the one who's not dead. I'm the guy, smile on my face. You know, I drive in as everybody's driving out, and I go to my place. You know, and there's kind of a little bit of morbid humor about that, right? I'm, you know, Mr. Keep Everything Together if everything goes to hell. Maybe, you know, that's, I guess I always kind of assume if, you know, in event of terrorism, if, you know, Chicago versus Milwaukee, you know, which one is more likely to be hit? And maybe not.
Right.
You know, maybe the whole point is, you know, San Bernardino versus Los Angeles. Hi, you thought you were safe out here. Wrong.
Interesting point.
Just as likely as everybody else.
Right. I mean, that's what we're left with today, too, is one. We're always going to wonder why after a horrible event like today. But, you know, our brains try to solve that problem, right? Try to figure out why would they attack San Bernardino versus Los Angeles, unless it was something personal. I mean, that might be what turns out to be the case. But, Jack, thank you so much for joining the conversation and sharing your thoughts about that. That's why we wanted to invite everyone on. Have a great night.
Well, thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you. Yeah, let's see. I remember hearing someone talk about how terrorists would attack the United States, and I thought about that today when I thought exactly like Jack. What would be the point of choosing that location? And that's the kind of world we live in now. That's where I'm raising my sons, and I want them to keep hope, and I think we all should. More after this on 720 WGN.
No, we didn't get to it. We thought we had time, but we blew.
I won't make you do that, Craig. You're coming along. The elevator's coming along so well. How have you been feeling, by the way, post-surgery?
Well, this week I've been trying the elevator every day, and it's been working. So.
Very nice, by the way. You amused Kevin Naughton to no end last night.
I know.
That was very funny.
That was great.
By the way, for those of you just joining us, if you've never heard the show before, we have a three-hour show, and sometimes we don't have enough time to get to everything we meant to get to. So we have Jason Skaggs has gifted us with his fantastic theme music for everything we meant to get to, including whether or not there's a difference between the male brain and the female brain. And
apparently there's not.
Well, yeah. Apparently there is.
Right.
There's
a new study that claims that they took the photographs and did the science, and then they decided that the brains are the same.
But I don't know. No, I just don't.
And you pointed out, as we talked about this earlier, that...
Yeah. Well, one, Stephanie Menendez was talking about how testosterone would probably play a role, or estrogen, or, you know, any number of things that are inherent to either one of the sexes. But what I've learned because of my son's disorder, which is hypoplasia of the corpus callosum, those are the fibers that run right down the middle of your brain that connect the left side with the right side. And from what I understand, women have a thicker corpus callosum, and it means that women need more information. We use more information to make decisions. Men don't. They make quicker decisions. And the example that I use is that when my husband and I, we go to this party every year, and we go the same route pretty much, only sometimes my husband will take a different turn. And almost every time I'm like, no, remember, we went past that post office, and it was a really cute little post office. It was like, you know, all red brick, and it was like those nice kind of bricks, because a lot of bricks now are all kind of mass produced and they don't look as nice as the older bricks. And it's kind of like one of those post offices, like out of a Norman Rockwell painting, and it's got a tree out front.
Yep.
And I think it's an elm tree, because not an elm tree, because the Elm's disease came through like years ago, so it wiped out all the elm trees in this neighborhood. So I think, oh, by the way, we need more new landscapers, because last of the landscapers came in and they didn't put the bags out by the curb because the city won't take them away. They have to be out in the alley. And then I was thinking, oh, we need more stamps.
What
so that's
happening? Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So that's how a woman's brain. We remember all. Do you ever have like an argument with a woman, and she remembers like what you were wearing, what she was wearing, where you, what party you just got, or what you had done that day when the argument happened, or the thing that you did that was wrong.
The argument can also start for me about one thing, and then it's about something else, and then something else, and then something else, and I don't.
So how can how can the brains be the same, Craig? Is what I'm saying.
Well, they said they scanned brains. That's what they did. They scanned 1,400 brains of people aged between 13 and 85.
Mm-hmm.
They looked for variations in the connections between the brain hemispheres, as well as the size, etc. And they found no convincing difference between males and females. This is what they say.
Were these all women that were doing the study? I'm just kidding. I don't know why I'm asking that, because women always seem to be, we always seem to want to prove that our brains are the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I Esmeralda, what do you think? Do you think that men's brains and women's brains are the same?
No.
Yeah. I mean, I don't need a study.
From experience, not at all.
But is that nature or nurture?
You know, I was thinking about nature and nurture today, about how everyone is so wildly different, right? When it comes to political views, religious views, you know. I don't know if you heard Bill and Wendy yesterday, not Tuesday, but Monday. I know it's confusing because we're on in the middle of the night. But they were talking to a theater teacher in London, in England, who had received a message from one of the parents from his students, and informing him that her child would no longer be taking theater classes with him because she found out he was gay, and that they didn't approve of his lifestyle, so they didn't want their child exposed to his homosexuality, apparently. And this instructor, Bill and Wendy had him on the show, and it was lovely. Not only was he not going to return the money, he said they were going to donate it to organizations that helped the LGBT community. But he also, you know, the thing is that she said that her child would take classes with somebody else in the theater, and he was like, good luck with that.
I'm not sure if she's familiar with the theater world.
Yes, but he was saying that she used her Christianity as a reason for why she didn't tolerate the homosexual lifestyle. And he made a great point. He said, that's not your Christianity. That's you. You're using your Christianity as an excuse. And I love the way he put that. That's something that you believe. You can't use that as your excuse. Just tell me that you don't believe in it, not your Christianity doesn't believe
right.
in it.
Just tell me that's the decision you're making.
Yeah, exactly. That's a decision you've made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just love the way he put that. But yes, I was thinking about nature versus nurture today. Yes, what else did we mean to
other stories we didn't get to? There was a Public Enemy fan that was able to drive the group to a show. Apparently, they
did the group know that they were being driven by the fan?
No, so they were at a signing. They were at a signing.
That's
and
surprising.
Then the taxi ditched them. So they didn't have a way to get to their performance.
Uh-huh.
And one of the people at the signing, one of the fans, was like, hey, I got a car. I'll just drive you guys.
Wow.
And so, yeah, there's a bunch of viral photos. He drove them to their show.
Did I ever tell you I was this close to getting into a car with Train?
That sounds awesome.
That was at I was performing at a festival in Joplin, Missouri, near Joplin, Missouri, at the Show Me Festival. They had done the could you hear that?
That was hilarious. Oh, yeah, we definitely heard that. We definitely heard that. You hit the spring on the microphone.
How has that never happened on the show before?
I can't believe that's never happened.
I mean, because I use my hands all the time.
Oh, you talk with your hands constantly.
And I often have pens in my
hand. Do it again.
I was like, this story took a turn.
Yeah. Crazy sound effects time.
I might not stop playing with this.
no, we derailed the show. You were saying something about trains.
I don't need any buttons. I don't need any of this stuff. I don't need any of that.
Nice.
I just have this. Uh-huh. Wait a minute, hold on a second. Okay, I was performing at the Show Me Festival in Missouri, and it was not long after all the tornadoes had gone through Missouri, so they were very quick to evacuate if there were any signs of heavy storms coming through. And so the cars were all leaving the festival grounds, and they were trying to get me into a car. They were trying to find a car for me and the other performers. The choices were the last car out was going to be able to get to back to the hotel. They were going to allow them out, back on the roads. Everybody else had to go into the bunker underneath the, which is like one of the largest bunkers. It's an underground like mustard storage place. That's what I was told. So this SUV pulled up. It was white, and one of the guys was waving me in, and I was like, "No, it's all right." And as they closed the door, I realized it was Train inviting me to jump into their SUV to be evacuated from the fairgrounds, and I waved them off because I didn't realize it was.
You could have partied with Train.
That's what I'm saying.
Or at least sang songs in the car.
Oh my God, I love Train.
Yeah, that would have been great.
It was very cool. And so I ended up in the underground bunker where people were selling Coors for $15 a can.
Oh, that's fun.
Expensive.
I have to get some pictures. I have those pictures. John Reap, John Caponera, Jamie Kyler, and who was the guy who lied about 9/11? Was it Jamie Kyler?
The comedian who lied about 9/11?
The comedian that lied.
Steve Ranazzisi?
Yeah, he was in the bunker too.
Wow.
Yeah. But you know what? He didn't have to lie about 9/11. He could talk about being in a bunker at a festival that Train.
That would have been a true story, Steve.
That would have been a true story,
Work
Steve.
On those.
Yeah, why don't you do that next time?
More companies are okay with paternity leave. That's becoming a thing that everybody's cool with.
All right. That's right. Good.
Yeah, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Because we need to bond with the baby, too.
I would think so.
Right.
I think Steve got, I can't remember how much time he had. It seemed like not enough. Because, you know, the weird thing is when you have a baby, there's a lot of deliveries. A lot of people sending congratulation gifts and stuff for the baby. And here I'm like in a robe. I'm leaking.
Right.
Got a crying baby that I'm not quite sure what to do with yet. And now the delivery man wants to ring my bell.
I never know if you actually want us to come in the room. When you're invited into the room right after you had the baby, mm-hmm. does the woman actually really want people in that room?
Nobody came to visit me in the hospital after either baby, which was, I think, oh, no, my sister-in-law, Megan, did, and that was fine. It was a pretty horrifying experience the first pregnancy post-delivery. They had taken Griffin for some testing because he had aspirated some of the fecal matter. Sorry, but it happens. It happens as a
all the things you just said. Things that like I don't want to skip.
And he had a mild fever. Griffin had a mild fever when he was born. But everything else was fine. So they just took him to for his tests and stuff. What was weird to me, and I don't even know how much of this to talk about, but I delivered I did not have a C-section. Let's put it that way. So there's a lot of wear and tear on that. And a nurse had to come and take me into the shower and help clean me. And that was very strange. She had a plastic bottle. It was kind of like a ketchup bottle that it's just something you don't think is ever going to happen in your life. I'm like, what is, no one tells you that's going to happen to you post delivery.
No
I didn't know that.
Did people tell the nurse that? I wonder. Like, do they tell them before they become nurses?
They're
going to have to use ketchup bottles on some lady.
Yeah,
exactly. Squirt stuff up there.
Yeah, it was very strange. You know what? I'm going to leave you on that. More after this on 720 WGN. Ketchup bottle for your woo.